When this story happened, David had already killed Goliath, and he had already become a national hero, so to speak. King Saul had given him a leadership position in the army, and he oftentimes, and he would, lead the army into battle, and he was victorious over and over and over again. And it was because God continued to bless David. And after one victory, the victory that we read about here in chapter 18, they were coming back into town, and the ladies of the cities came out singing and dancing and rejoicing in the victory that God had given Israel. And they began to chant, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And the Bible says that Saul got jealous. He got jealous, and he got angry, and he said to himself, they've given David credit for 10,000s. I only got credit for thousands. What could he get more? He's going to get the kingdom. He's going to be the next king. Now, the way it worked back in those days, a son succeeded his father as Solomon succeeded David as the king. And Saul said, I just know, I can tell that my son Jonathan is not going to get the kingdom, that David is going to get it. And so the Bible says from that day forward, Saul eyed David and he was suspicious of him. The next day, an evil spirit came upon Saul. And by the way, even before David had killed Goliath, after he had been anointed to be king by Samuel, again, this was in secret. Saul didn't know about it. This was after Saul had disobeyed God. God had told him to go kill all of this people and Saul, and all their animals, and Saul disobeyed. And so God said, you know, you can't be the king if you're not going to obey me. And so we had Samuel, again, not knowing it, go to Jesse's family and anoint his youngest son, David, to be the next king. And the Bible says after that, an evil spirit came upon Saul, and his servant said, hey, if we could find somebody to play the harp, play music for Saul, we could have this evil spirit, we could get rid of this evil spirit in the king. And so one of Saul's servants says, well, I know a young man. He's a son of Jesse. He's a shepherd. He plays the harp pretty good. Let's get him. And so David, before he killed Goliath, was actually part of the king's court because he was the one that played the harp when an evil spirit came upon Saul, and his playing drove that spirit away. That's why it's funny to me, you know, as I read the Bible. And I hope you're reading the Bible through. I hope you're on a schedule, either the 12-month schedule or the 4-month schedule or the 6-month schedule or your own schedule, that you're in the Bible every single day, that you're reading the Bible and you're keeping up with it. That's why it's surprising to me. David was playing the harp for Saul, driving this evil spirit away. And when he came to Saul, when Goliath had challenged the people and said, I'll go kill that old giant. I mean, I killed the bear and I killed the lion that came after my sheep, and I'll go kill this old giant. And he went and slung his sling and threw a stone and knocked Goliath down and went and took his sword and cut his head off. And Saul said to Abner, he said, who is that? Who's that guy? Who is that just killed the giant? Now, you would think if somebody was standing before him playing the harp that he would know who he was, but he didn't. And so this particular day, David comes back in to play the harp to drive this evil spirit away from Saul, and Saul was holding a javelin, a spear in his hand. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll get David. I'll throw this spear at him. I'll pin him up against the wall and kill him, and he will not be the next king. My son Jonathan will rule after me. And the Bible says that he did that, and that David avoided Saul, avoided out of his presence twice. So, I mean, here in this particular chapter, it's saying there were two different times that Saul cast a spear at David, and he avoided him. Now, the Bible records two more places. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, the next chapter, verse 10, the Bible says, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. And then in the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 33, and Saul cast a javelin at him, David, to smite him. And by the way, I think Saul knew how to throw spears. I think he was practiced at it, And for the most part could hit his target. I think God was protecting David. And when Saul threw that spear, David escaped because God was protecting him. Now, here's the point of my message tonight. Saul wanted to destroy David. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to make it so that David could no longer be used of God. God had a plan for David. He was going to use him in a mighty way. He was going to be the next king. He was going to lead the nation of Israel for 40 years. I mean, that was God's plan for his life. And Saul was trying to mess up that plan that God had for him by throwing a spear at him and killing him. Now, I would remind you tonight that God has a plan for every single person here. Has a plan. From little Jenna over here to Brother Harold right there, probably from the youngest to the oldest. I don't know if Harold's, I need to take a survey, so what? Probably Reg is older than Brother Harold. But from little Jenna up here, who may be the youngest, to these two senior saints back here, Brother Harold and Brother Reg, God has a plan for each of our lives. Don't you think for a minute that you're so old that you're unusable to God. If you're a Christian and you're still here and you've heard me say this over and over again, because I want you to get this truth. If you are still here, God has he has a plan for your life. He has something that he wants you to do. Now, we can understand that for Jenna and for Evan and all these young ones up here, but you know, when we get up into the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, we might think, well, God must be done with me. No, he's not. If he was done with you, he'd take you home. He'd take you to heaven. The fact that you're still here means that God has something that he wants you to do. And I will tell you, there are people that you will come in contact that will try to mess up that plan that God has for your life. They will throw spears, not a literal spear, but they will say a discouraging word. They will say an insult. They will gossip. They will try to tear you down, to get you discouraged, to drop out, to quit, to not do what God wants you to do. And they're all around us. And you have them in your life. And you might say, oh, Brother Darrell, nobody's bothered me like that. Well, I bet if we looked hard enough, there is somebody that's bothering you like that. There's somebody that gets under your skin. There's somebody that again doesn't throw a literal spear, but just keeps throwing darts, as the Bible talks that the devil throws darts at us in the book of Ephesians, throws darts at us and tries to get us to discourage, tries to get us to quit, tries to get us down, tries to get us to drop out of the work of God. And I want to tell you tonight, there's nothing like being in the work of God. Now listen, we ought to be excited about the opportunity that God gives us to serve him. You stop and think about it. You are serving the creator of the universe. You are serving the one that holds it all together. I got to meet the chairman of General Motors the other morning. He came down to speak at this conference. I was out in Detroit, and I hate to tell you this, well, I was in the bathroom, and I looked over this next guy, big, tall guy. I look up, oh, there's Rick Wagner. And I said, Mr. Wagner, how are you? He said, I'm doing good now. And I said, well, so am I. And so, we got to chat a little. I shouldn't talk about stuff like that, but I just got to tell you the context. But we got to chat a little bit, and I told him I thought he was doing a good job. We have some challenges in front of us, but I thought he was doing a good job. And I felt important. I mean, I got to meet the chairman of General Motors. Well, I'll tell you something. I feel more important because I get to serve the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. I mean, I can talk to him every single day. I just don't get to meet him every now and then at a conference. I can talk to him every single day, and he talks to me every single day. I don't know about you, but that excites me, that I get to represent him, that I get to tell other people about him, and again, and so do you. So do you. Don't get discouraged. I know it's the winter. Adam and I were talking at lunch today. It's the middle of the winter and cold. And he said, man, it just seems like everybody was down this morning. And I understand there's going to be times when we'll get a little tired and we'll get a little discouraged. But don't let it hang on. Don't shake it off. Just remind yourself whose army you are in, the God that you serve, the fact that we are His ambassadors to a lost and dying world. And that'll keep you excited. Now, there are people, though, that will throw spears. They'll try to get you discouraged. And tonight I want to give you four things to help you when that happens. I want you to remember four things when that happens. Number one, you are not alone. You are in good company. A lot of us get the Elijah complex. Remember when Elijah went out into the wilderness, Jezebel was after him. He'd killed all the prophets of Baal. Jezebel, the queen, Ahab's queen, sent word to him and said, "Hey, I'm going to get you." I mean, he had just led the people of God to destroy all the prophets of Baal. He'd just been up on Mount Carmel and called down fire from heaven. I mean, you would think if there was anybody that was excited about the things of God, it would be Elijah. And Jezebel sent word to him, "I'm going to get you, man. I'm going to get you." And he ran. And he got in the middle of the wilderness, and he sat down. He said, "God, just let me die. Just go ahead and let me die." He got so discouraged, he wanted God to let him die. And God came to him. And you remember, he was out there, and there was an earthquake, and there was a mighty wind, and God wanted any of those, and there came a still, small voice. And God says, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah said, "Hey, I've been very jealous for the Lord God. I've been very jealous for you. There ain't nobody left in the whole kingdom that serves you but me. I'm the only one." And sometimes we get the Elijah complex and think that other people don't know anything that we're going through, that we're the only ones that's going through what we're going through. We're the only ones that Satan is after. We're the only ones that others are trying to get us discouraged. And I want to tell you tonight, don't feel that way, because it ain't true. You are in good company. Remember what Joseph's brother did to him? Same reason. They got jealous. "Oh, Daddy likes Joseph better than he does us. He made him that coat of many different colors." And they got so jealous that when he came out to check on him, they ripped his coat off of him, threw him in a pit. And then when some traders came by, they sold him into captivity, and he went into Egypt. Now, again, that was part of God's plan for his life. But here's a group of 10 jealous brothers, and they said, "We're going to get Joseph. You're not alone. You're in good company." People did the same thing to Moses. Can you imagine leading almost 2 million people for 40 years, and they complained about the food, they complained about the water, they complained about it being so hot. And you know, when Moses got mad and struck the rock when he was supposed to talk to him, I can identify with him. I mean, I know exactly what he was going through. I mean, there were people in Moses' life that they said, "We should have just stayed in Egypt. We shouldn't have left. We had plenty to eat back there. Man, we had the leeks and the onions and the garlics. Who would want to eat that, Sierra? I mean, even you don't eat that stuff, do you?" "Oh, never mind. I should know better than to ask you." But they wanted to go back. And they were trying to discourage Moses. Look what they did to David. Not only Saul, but there were other people that tried to get David at Paul. I mean, there were people that tried to discourage Paul, that told lies about him. I mean, they took him out and stoned him. They beat him. And then, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? There were people that always were trying to trip him up. They were trying to catch him saying something that they could use against him. They were trying to stop his ministry. I mean, they were throwing spears at our Savior throughout his entire earthly ministry. In fact, what's the last thing that they did to him as he hung on the cross? They pierced him with the spear. And so tonight, when people come after you, try to get you down, try to get you discouraged, don't think that you're all by yourself. You're in good company. You're in good company. There's other people that they've done it to in the Bible. There's other people that they're doing it to today. Number two, the battle is not yours, it's God's. It's not yours, it's God's. You know what we want to do? When somebody throws a spear at us, you know what we want to do? We want to pick up our spear and throw it back at them. Oh, you throw a spear at me? I'm going to throw a spear at you. I mean, that's our human tendency. Somebody attacks us, we want to attack them. Somebody comes after us, we want to go after them. I want you to know something. I want you to think about something. And DJ, I want you to come up here and help me. Just stand right down here for a second. Okay, right in the middle of the aisle, and I'll turn around. Okay? All right. Now, here's what the Bible says. Don't look at me. Look that way. I'm going to sneak up on you. All right? Matthew chapter 5. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other side. Now I'm going to illustrate with DJ. I'm going to be the striker. You are going to be the strike-e. Okay? Huh? Okay. Now, I'm going to start over here. Wait a minute. I got to go back and read my scripture again. Whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Okay? Now, this is DJ's. What side of DJ is this? Right side. So if I'm standing in front of him, how am I going to strike him if I'm right-handed? How am I going to strike him on the right cheek? Well, I have to backhand, but I'm not going to get much force. Am I backhanded? I mean, I want to strike him as hard as I can. Are you ready? Don't smile. Hey, he's smiling. He's about to get beat, and he's smiling. This is how he does when he gets spanked, Dennis? Oh, no, okay. But look, if I'm going to smite him on the right cheek, I mean, the only way I can do it is backhand. You know what I think the Bible's talking about? If I go around like this, I can get him really hard. Because I can smite him on the right cheek by swinging just like that really hard and get him on the right cheek. And then what's he supposed to do? Turn around so I can get him on the left. Huh? Do you ever think about that? I mean, here's what I think Jesus is saying. Hey, if somebody is throwing spears at you, they're sneaking up on you, and they're saying things that aren't true, and they're smiting you on the right cheek from behind the back, don't fight back. Turn around and let them smack you on the left. Huh? Because you know why? Thanks, DJ. You know why? The battle is not yours. It's God. He said, I'll take care of it. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, here's what God says. To me belongeth vengeance. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So when somebody comes after you, and they say untrue things, and they throw spears, remember, you are not alone. You're in good company. And it's not your battle, it's God's. Number three, it's part of God's plan. You say, hey, preacher, I've understood the first 2 points. I don't understand this third point. What do you mean it's part of God's plan? It's part of God's plan that somebody would try to get me discouraged. It's part of God's plan that somebody would hurt me. It's part of God's plan that somebody would tell a lie about me. It's a part of God's plan that somebody would try to trip me up. Yes, 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 yes. God is trying to make you into something that he can use more effectively, just like David. Now let me remind you of a couple things that happened in David's life. Saul was throwing spears at him. And again, Our natural tendency as human beings, David's natural tendency was to pick up the spear and throw it right back at him. To do tit for tat. In other words, he threw a spear at me, I'm going to throw a spear at him. Now, fast forward. Again, that happened, I think, four different times in the life of David. Fast forward. David was running from Saul. He was hidden in a cave. Saul came in to sleep in the cave. He and his men came in, and they fell asleep in the cave. David was standing in the sides of the caves. And he took one of Joab's brothers with him, and I can't remember which one it was. I probably can't say it even if I couldn't remember it. But Joab's brother went with David, and they saw where Saul was sleeping, and they said, "Hey, God's brought your enemy. Let's kill him. Let's take a spear and just poke him through his heart. Let's kill him." And David said, "No, God will, we're not going to lift our hand against the Lord's anointed." And they cut off a piece of his skirt. And when Saul left the cave, David went out, and after he was far away, he called to Saul and said, "Why are you coming after me? The Lord gave you to me. I did not kill you." Fast forward a little bit further. Saul and Abner and all the men were asleep in a valley. And the same guy and David came to where they were sleeping. The Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon them. And the brother of Joab wanted to do the same thing. He wanted to take the spear. He said, "I only need one chance. It won't take me twice. It'll only take me once. I'll poke him right through the heart and kill him." And David said, "Nope, we're not going to lift our hand against the Lord's anointed." And they took his spear and his water bottle. And again, went far off from him and called to Saul. You see, David had learned that the battle was the Lord's and that God was using that spear throwing by Saul to train him not to throw the spears back. When David was leaving Jerusalem, when Absalom rose up against him, there was a man named Shimei that came along and cursed him and threw dust at him and threw stones at him. And the same brother of Joab says, "Hey, let me go over there and take this guy's head off. You're still the king. Let me just go cut his head off. I'll just go cut his head off." And David said, "No, I'm running from my own son. Why should I deal with this one that's cursing me and throwing in dirt?" I'll submit to you tonight, and there's other illustrations in the Bible, but in those three, we see a Christ-like character in David. He was like Jesus was going to be. Because you see, when they persecuted Jesus, when they told lies about Jesus, when they tried to trip him up, what did he do? He forgave them. In fact, when he hung on the cross, what was one of the things he said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know what's one of the best things you can do when somebody casts a spear at you, tells a lie about you, says something to hurt you? Say the same thing that Jesus did. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Say, "Oh, Brother Darrell, that's hard." You're right. It's hard. I mean, if you knew your preacher in his younger days, you would know that I have had a lifelong battle with not turning the other cheek, but wanting to slap right back. I mean, I can remember one time my dad took the razor strop after me because I told a neighbor lady off. You say, "You? Yeah. Sinner saved by grace, man. That's all I am." But I mean, my dad, I thought he was going to kill me. I mean, that's the worst whooping I ever got because I sassed back a lady that, and I still think she deserved to have it, but look. Look, if we're going to be like Christ and somebody says something to hurt us or somebody says something to discourage us or somebody says something untrue or somebody insults us, God wants to use us. He wants us to be like Jesus And he wants us to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, number four, and I'm done. Let me tell you who's behind it all. I don't need to tell you his name. You already know it. Satan. I mentioned this morning, Satan has two main purposes. He wants to keep people out of heaven. And if you're saved, he wants to mess up your testimony. Now, let me deal with the second one first. If you're saved, he wants to mess up your testimony. And you know what one of the best ways that Satan has to mess up our testimony? Get us fussing with one another. You did that to me? Boy, just wait and see what I'm going to do to you. You said that about me? Well, I can find something to say about you. I mean, that's his greatest weapon, to get Christians fussing with one another. And I'll tell you what, if you take the attitude and be like Jesus and say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing, it's going to be hard to fuss. It's going to be hard to fuss. Now, second one, let me go back to the first one. Satan's prime mission is to keep people out of heaven. He wants everybody to go to hell. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what. Here, Evan, come here for a second. Now, Evan's saved, got baptized last year, so I know he's going to heaven. But you know what makes me mad? Is when I realize that Satan would like nothing better for a young man like Evan to go to hell. Makes me mad. I mean, you talk about somebody that wants to fight. You talk about somebody that just wants to kick Satan with all he's worth. Talking about me. It just makes me mad. I don't want any little boy like Evan to go to hell. I don't want any little girl like Lily or Dominique or Shaylin or Jenna. I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want any teenager to go to hell. I don't want any adult to go to hell. I don't want Satan to get anybody. Jesus said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when Satan gets us fussing with one another and to discourage us, to get us to quit, you know what he's done? He's taken our eyes off the main mission to get these little boys and these little girls and these teenagers and these adults to him. To him. You know what? I'll tell you what. I preach to myself every day. In this regard, I am not going to fuss. I'm not going to fight. I'm not. You want to come and start something with me? You can start and you can finish, because I'm not going to get involved. Now, I'm a human being, and there'll probably be times when I'll slip and you need to pray for me. But I've decided, I'm sort of like Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was up building the wall, and these guys came to him and said, hey, you need to come down so that we can talk about this. And Nehemiah said, no, I'm doing something too important. I ain't got time to come talk to you guys about this petty stuff. I ain't got time to come down and talk about what you don't want us to do. I'm doing a great work. And if we could get that through our heads, that we are doing a great work, let people say what they want. Let them hurl their spears. We need to keep our eyes on what's important, and what's important is keeping these boys and girls and these teenagers and these adults, getting them to Christ. That's what's important. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. And I pray, Father, that we would profit from your word. I pray that we would not allow Satan to get our eyes off what's important, that we would stay to the task of telling people about Jesus. Father, I pray tonight if somebody here that doesn't know Christ, they're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. And Father, I pray that you'd help them see that the only hope they have for heaven is to come through Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so, Father, if it's a little boy, if it's a little girl, if it's a teenager, if it's an adult, I pray, Father, that they would not walk out of this place tonight without knowing that Christ is their Savior. And Father, I pray that they would ask him tonight. Pray for Christians that are here. You know what's on our hearts and our minds. You know the struggles that we're going through. And I pray, Father, that we would keep our eyes on you. We would stay focused on what you've, the mission that you've left us here to accomplish. We're doing a great work. We don't have time to get involved in the things that Satan tries to get us involved in. Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.